The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Hello, folks everywhere. Pull up that easy chair. You set your dial to get some smiles when Bob Hope hits the air.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Opera Season Hope, telling you I know if I use Pepsodent, the foul thing every morning, my teeth will never be Lucia, and they won't be Carmen out of my mouth whenever I eat it. I want to rehearse that now. Do you mind? This is Bob, Opera Season Hope, telling you I know if I use Pepsodent, the foul thing every morning, my teeth will never be Lucia, and they won't be Carmen out of my mouth whenever I eat it. That's for Tuesday. Thank you, friend. Another one. Or this is Bob Grand Opera Hope telling you opera ushers that whether you put them in the Diamond Horseshoe or in the Peanut Gallery, if you'll use Pepsodent, you'll never put them in the box. I'll tear that out now, right away. What a joke. That is a little stale, kid, right up front. Well, the opera season opened in Los Angeles last week, and everybody in the 400 attended. The 400, that's all the people there are in Los Angeles who aren't working nights at an airplane factory. I don't know why I went to the opera. Up until now, even Gene Autry has been too subtle for me. But I go to the opera every year whether I need to sleep or not. Of course, it was a relief going there. It was the first time in months I spent an evening listening to singing and nobody sang Jim. Everybody goes to the opera here. I called up Hetty Lamar and said, how about an evening of Rigoletto and Tristan? She said, no thanks. I'll never let... I'll be back. Just a second.
Good to ruin
it. Everybody goes to the opera here. I called up Hetty Lamar and said, how about an evening of Rigoletto and Tristan? She said, no thanks, I'll never get in a parked car with you again. Rigoletto and Tristan. The opera. You pay $5.50 a seat to get dressed up in a stiff shirt and listen to a dozen sopranos and baritones sing at you in a language you can't understand. It's like listening to 3 hours of the Hutsut song. All Hollywood turned out. Edward Arnold sat in the first row, and in the second row there was Edward Arnold. And and Gary Cooper was there. He always has a lot of trouble. He has to buy two seats, one in the balcony where he can sit and the other in the orchestra to rest his feet. Brother, is he tall? Standing up, I look like him sitting down. I had a lovely seat right between Madeline Carroll and Ann Sheridan, but every few minutes they had to turn the cooling system on and turn me off. And Lana Turner was there wearing a very low-cut evening gown, they tell me. I couldn't see it because she forgot to remove the price tag. The opera was Il Trovatore, and they decided to make a big thing out of the famous bullfighting scene. What a sight that was, as across the stage marched 11 bulls being led to the slaughter. They looked like USC coming out for the second half. It was a very swanky affair. I had to use an aluminum toothpick to get the popcorn out of my teeth. I just wanted to give it another chance before I murder it. All the wealth in Los Angeles was represented at the opera. In fact, when I went in, I felt something drip on my head. It was Morgenthau sitting up in the chandelier drooling. Of course, I went formal. I wore top hat, white tie, and tails, but I felt a little chilly as I walked in the lobby. My bathrobe kept blowing open. And boy, are the tickets expensive at the opera. When I pulled a dollar bill out of my pocket, George Washington looked at the price and said, we better get Abe in on this deal. And I've never seen such swanky cars. When you drive up in a car like those, you just park anywhere you want, and the city moves its hydrant. As the they drove up to the opera, the doorman opened the car door, and if you wore less than 2 pounds of diamonds, he called Basil Rathbone out to sneer at you. There were so many bright, hot Klieg lights at the entrance, one woman got out of her car wearing a mink coat and entered the opera wearing a fried rabbit. Ed, I've never seen so many society matrons. Society matron, that's a highbrow with a low neck. One woman had on so... wait a minute. Come on, Rob, will you? What did you call that? One woman had on so many furs I had to use a filing system to find her. Maybe I was right when I couldn't read it. But the opera was so exclusive this year, you couldn't get in unless you were a genuine Jew, blue blood. Three Gentiles there. That fixes me. I'll never play at Hillcrest again. That's wonderful. How about that? But the opera was so exclusive this year, you couldn't get in unless you were genuine Jew blood. You couldn't get in unless you were a genuine blue blood. Barbara Hutton was standing at the door selling transfusions. Really, I saw one woman with so many diamonds on her hands, she had a caddy to lift her pinky. All the women were wearing diamonds, but rocks are hard luck in my family. Right now, my brother is breaking them for taking them. One society woman was really snooty. She had a lorgnette with a spoon on the side to lift her nose up for her. Ladies looked at you through a lorgnette. Lorgnette, that's French for go away, bud. You bother me. At all. All the dowagers were there. There were so many sneers in the place, it was like asking for a table for one at the Brown Derby. Strictly for the actors. Of course, I tried to remain inconspicuous, but someone noticed me. I don't know why. I was just minding my own business walking along the balcony railing. When I got into the theater, the opera had already started and it was very dark. I tried to find my seat and by mistake, I sat down on another fellow's lap. I said, I'm sorry. He said, oh, that's perfectly all right. Why don't we do this more often? And Skinny Ennis was there. He sat down hard in his folding opera hat. 6 hours later, he was grounded for stunning over Glendale. And now we have Redwood Gate. Say anything you want.
Well, Bob, I just want to take a moment to remind the folks that your new book, They Got Me Covered,
like the way I read,
is now available at their favorite drug counter with the purchase of a package of any Pepsodent product in the large or medium size and 10 cents.
Yes, sir.
Several big national magazines.
Right, and everybody, right in the drugstore, right in the
drugstore. They've used a few pictures from it, and they rave about it.
Don't sit there, Rush. Get out of your seat. Run, get out of the house. Break it with
it. The funniest book of the year. So you'd better get your copy now while you still see them on your dealer's counter. That's all, Bob.
Thank you very much. Here's our Francis Langford and our six hits in a minute singing Yours.
Yes.
What happened? After the commercial, what are you going to do, Mike? I think you ought to lengthen the introduction because it sounds a little cold, going right out of the commercial into a cold announcement. Don't you? All right. Well, anything you say, it's your department. Music is your department. I mean, I'm not the type of fellow lord, huh, sir? Yes, right now. Look at the way he can handle it, too.
The bird sings to sing. You're
Just a guess. Who sent for that man? Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure now to introduce one of Hollywood's best-known and finest actors, soon to appear in the 20th Century Fox picture, Roxy Hart, the best-dressed man in Hollywood, Adolph Manju. Hey! Thank you, Bob. Well, how'd you like that introduction? The best-dressed man in Hollywood.
Oh, I don't know, Bob. I'm not the best-dressed man.
No?
No, it's just being on a program like this that makes me look so good.
Yeah, those musicians. I don't know what... Say, but I want to welcome you to the... I want to welcome you to the Pepsodent program, Dolph. Do you think you like the type of thing we do on this program?
Oh, yes. I'm used to the type of thing you do here. After all, I used to be Shirley Temple's leading man.
Out there, you sure it wasn't Jane Withers, were we? But why is it you never came around before to be on this show?
Well, Bob, I figured that if I were to be a guest star on your show, I'd have to talk about your picture, nothing but the truth. And to talk about it, I'd have to see it. And you know how my stomach went.
You're not helping mine.
But I must admit, Bob, lots of people I know have seen you in nothing but the truth. And they all say that you give Jack Benny a run for his money.
You mean I give Benny competition as a comedian?
Oh, not that. But people can't decide whether you or Benny is the screen's best-dressed woman.
The voice sounds like Dolph Manju, but the insult sounds like Fred Allen.
But really, you are one of the top comedians of the day, Bob. Everybody admits that.
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, what are you complaining about? Seriously, Bob... I'm glad to be here on your radio show tonight. I do enjoy your program immensely.
Well, how come? Ain't you a highbrow?
Just what do you mean by a highbrow?
Well, you know, that's the guy that wears the bottom of his pajamas.
Don't you?
Of course not. I never wear the bottoms of my pajamas.
Do you mean that's a suit you've got on?
Just a minute, mind you. I have a reputation for wearing good clothes. Why, do you know that the Tailors Association of America conferred a great honor on me this year?
They voted you America's best dressed man?
No, they voted me the customer least likely to pay his bill. But I thought this was a pretty nice suit.
Looks sort of flimsy. What kind of material is it?
Reinforced Kleenex. Say, what do you really think of this outfit?
Well, truthfully, Bob, it looks like something the cat dragged in.
It does, huh? Well, do you think I should change tailors?
No, change cats.
Oh, well, you dress as your tailor tells you, whereas I dress for my own pleasure.
You mean to say you like that jute bag you're wearing?
Yes, don't you like it?
Well, Bob, if you hurry, you can just make Hobby love it.
Well, what's wrong with the suit? Do you think it bags a little at the knees?
Well, I don't know. Where are the knees?
I'll ask him when he comes in. I can't understand it. This is supposed to be the latest drape model.
Yes, I can see it's a drape all right. But don't you think you'd look better in a drape if you took it off the curtain pole? How much did you pay for it, Bob?
Why, $35.
$35? Well, I paid $200 for this.
$200? Who makes your suits? Hart, Schaffner, and Morgenthau? Were you always a pretty snappy dresser, Dolph?
Oh, to be sure. I was the only baby in my block that ever had a dighty with a belt in the back.
Well, you must have a pretty large wardrobe.
Oh, yes, I have. I change suits every couple of hours, wherever I am.
Well, we better talk fast. Your time may be up.
I have all kinds of suits, Bob. I even have a suit with extra space in the right elbow.
You have a suit with extra space in the right elbow? What for?
Playing pinball machines.
Well, gee, you must have a terrific wardrobe.
Well, I have about 200 suits in my closet. What have you got in yours?
Mice.
Well, you probably look very good in them.
Say, but I tell you, I certainly envy your clothes, especially the crease in your pants. How do you press those creases?
Young man, the crease in my pants is not pressed. It's sharpened on a grindstone.
Well, Dolph, you always look like you were poured into your clothes. Why can't I look like that?
Well, Bob, the difference is, when they pour me into my clothes, there's no big drip left over.
Dolph, that's the joke I told you about that you're getting instead of salary.
Look, Wallen.
While you're here, maybe you can give me some tips on how to dress better.
Well, I'd like to. Why don't you wear more stripes, Bob?
Oh, I couldn't wear more stripes.
Well, why not?
Well, when I go to visit my brother, he'd think I was rubbing it in.
Well, you know, Bob, in order to get a reputation as a well-dressed man, you've got to have lots of clothing. Now tell me, how many suits have you got?
Including this one?
Yes. How many suits have you got altogether?
Well, let's see. There's my Sunday suit, the suit I wear when I work in the garden, my golfing suit, my formal clothes, my work suit, one.
Well, that doesn't matter too much. The main requisite for being a well-dressed man is not to wear the same suit too long. Never keep a suit more than 3 months.
Oh, don't worry about that. I never keep suit more than 1 month.
A large wardrobe?
No, small finance company.
Bob, another startling thought you've got is those suspenders you wear. I never saw anything like them.
Oh, but lots of people wear them.
Yes, but you're supposed to wear suspenders to hold your pants up, not your stockings. Now, one more thing. Just one more thing. You don't select your clothes carefully to fit the occasion. I saw you at dinner at Ciro's the other night, and you had on red pants.
Red pants? They weren't red pants, Dolph. I just finished paying the check, and I had on long flannel underwear. I guess it's no use. I just can't seem to learn about correct attire. I don't know how you do it, Dolph.
Well, Bob, I follow Esquire very carefully.
Oh, they got something about men's clothes in there?
It took me 3 years to find that out, too. But you look in Esquire, Bob. They show what type of clothes to wear for every occasion.
Yeah, but how would I look walking around all day in nothing but a telephone?
You know,
I'm disappointed. I figured that for a smash. Nothing. Large omelet. Look, Dolph, if you give me some tips on dressing, I'll give you some tips on how to act in the movies.
How do you like these kids?
Why, what's the matter?
Bob, I've been in the movies quite a long time now.
How long?
I don't know exactly, but quite a while. Why, when I started in pictures, they used to wear sweaters to keep them warm.
show business a long time, Dolph. Will you tell everyone what you think of me as an actor?
Young man, you haven't got the histrionic background of a real trooper. Have you ever delivered Hamlet's soliloquy?
Hamlet's soliloquy? What's that?
Well, it's a very tragic monologue. You know, like you did at the beginning of the show.
I thought that was more Eglet than Hamlet. What do you mean I haven't got... What do you mean I haven't got background?
Well, have you ever played Shakespeare?
No, what track is he running at?
You may not know it, but Shakespeare's had a lot of funny jokes in his plays.
I wish we had some of his jokes in the script.
I think we have.
Say, that reminds me. Have you seen Nothing But the Truth yet?
What reminds you?
Oh, a fresh guy, huh?
Well, as a matter of fact, Bob, I did see Nothing But the Truth.
Well, tell me, don't you think I deserve an Academy Award for my performance in that picture?
What did you say?
I said, don't you think I deserve an Academy Award for my performance in that picture?
Bob, you should wear a hat when you sit in the sun.
I do, but the Chamber of Commerce makes me take it off. But what did you really think of my performance in Nothing But the Truth, Dolph?
The last word.
Thanks.
The last word I'd use on the air.
Well, I know my acting won't set the world on fire.
Brother, it won't even start a flicker in Pomona. Who wrote that line?
My writer, why?
I'd like to shake hands with him.
Oh, I'm not going to let him out of the straitjacket just for that. But tell me, Dolph, what can I do to improve my acting?
Well, when I'm making a picture, Bob, I try to be painstaking. I study not only my lines, but everybody else's lines, too. You do that, Bob?
Do I do what?
Do you study everybody else's lines, too?
What else can you do when you work with Dorothy L'Amour?
You must be quite a ladies man, Bob.
No, I can't say that. In fact, none of the girls will go out with me. What's wrong with me, anyway?
Are you really worried about it, Bob?
Worried? Listen, I buy magazines just to read the advertisements now.
Well, for one thing, your manners could stand improving. Where did you ever learn your manners, anyway?
Well, when I was a kid, I sent away for Emily Post's book on etiquette.
How does that account for the way you act?
Well, I was 27 years old before I found out they sent me a copy of Tobacco Road by mistake.
It's very easy to be a man of the world and a sophisticate. When I invite a woman to dinner, I just remember one thing.
What's that?
I never let her carry her own tray.
Oh, that's silly, carrying a girl's tray. You get the check that way. Say, where do you take girls when you go out with them?
Well, Bob, when you're out with a girl, you take her to some quiet nook where there are only a few other couples dancing, some exclusive place, some place where it's always dark, pitch dark.
That's just what I always do.
Bob, I'm not talking about the La Brea tar pit. Another sign of good manners is being generous. For instance, you go to everybody else's parties in Hollywood, so you ought to give parties yourself.
Well, what was wrong with the party I gave last week?
Nothing. It was very generous of you to let men in uniform in for half price.
And the same night I had a special on the sandwiches.
And the main thing, Bob, as I said before, what really holds you back is the sloppy way you dress.
Oh, I don't think I dress so bad. I'll prove it to you. I'll call over Frances Langford and Betty Hutt and say, girls.
Yes, Bob.
Frances, this is Adolph Monju.
Gee, naughty Adolph Monju's a great movie star. This is wonderful. I'm delighted to meet you.
Betty, this is Adolph Monju.
Hiya, Sash.
Dolph, this is Betty Hutton, last week's guest star. What do you want this week, Betty?
Last week's salary.
Betty, what did you say you wanted from Bob?
Salary, salary.
Bob, what does that word mean?
Oh, it's nothing. Look, Miss Hutton. Look. When you're around any of the members of my cast, don't ever mention M-O-N-E-Y.
Okay, but I want my money, J-E-R-K.
Betty, I called you over here to meet Adolph Monju.
Pleased to meet you. Say, didn't I see you beating it out at the Palladium last night?
Why, no. I never go out in the evening.
You mean you can get that dissipated looking in the daytime?
Say, we called you girls over to settle an argument. Frances, I want your honest opinion. Who do you think is a better dresser, me or Adolph Monju?
Well, Bob, I don't think you can compare your clothes with Adolph. After all, he doesn't knit his own.
Now, Francie, no joking. Honestly, who's the better dresser, me or Dolph?
Well,
Hey, Dolph doesn't ever bring you pretty options.
Well...
Dolph can't do nothing if your options are options.
Guess I'll just go on carrying the bull for Hope.
Well, I'll leave it to Betty. Betty, what do you think of the way I read that line?
Betty, what do you think of the way I dress?
You're solid, brother, solid.
And what do you think of the way I dress?
Squalid, brother, squalid. You look nice, Bob, but you have a little pot tummy.
We're in no hurry. You can go out for a sandwich if you want. What'd you say?
You look nice, Bob, but you have a little pot tummy.
Working up. Things are done out here. The first 2 years you're in California, you're supposed to get a little pot tummy.
You are?
Yeah, then the third year, you're supposed to take it down and have a stamped sun kiss.
You girls don't think much of Bob as a dresser, do you?
Well, frankly, Mr. Marshew, Bob doesn't take very good care of his clothes. He presses them under a mattress.
I do not.
Then how come on the back of your pants it says Simmons Beauty Rest?
It isn't as bad as that, Mr. Monju. Bob is well-dressed and he's conservative, too. You should see him when he wears his pink vest.
Yes, I've seen him in that several times.
Hey, wait a minute. I haven't got a pink vest.
Now, look, Bob, either you've got a pink vest or you wear your girdle awfully high.
You girls still haven't settled which of us is the better dress.
Say, maybe it'd be easy for us to decide if you both stood there side by side. There, that's it. Now, what do you think of them, Betty?
Get a load of those two. Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, don't call him a beast.
Hardly worth the walk.
Perhaps we're a little prejudiced against Bob, Mr. Monju, because you're so much handsomer than he is.
Now, wait a minute.
Just a moment. I think Bob has a great deal of charm and is very attractive to the fair sex.
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel good.
Yes, I guess it was a little too obvious. Now, wait a minute. Madeline Carroll says I'm the man of her dreams.
I'll bet she hates herself when she wakes up.
Dolph, you wouldn't say I was a complete washout, would you?
No.
Thank you.
Even an old pot has some aluminum.
Watch me. I'll show you how to make an impression on a girl. Oh, Betty.
Yes, Mr. Monju.
Oh, you're very charming tonight. You have beautiful hair. You have beautiful eyes. Beautiful ears. And a beautiful nose.
Come on, Dolph. Get to her teeth. Remember, this is a Pepsodent program.
You could take a few tips from Mr. Monju about lovemaking, Bob.
Well, of course, he's got the advantage over me when it comes to making love.
How do you mean?
Well, Dolph, you can kiss a girl and dust her off at the same time.
Beautiful mustache. Must be a lot of trouble keeping it so perfectly.
Yes, I guess I use a pound of wax a month to keep that mustache in shape.
Really? You better stick around. I got a friend by the name of McGee that'll want to have a talk with you.
You know, Bob, before I kiss a girl, I always wax my mustache. I waxed my mustache very carefully once, and then I kissed Hetty Lamar.
What happened?
Who said you can't burn your candle at both ends? Did you ever kiss Hetty?
No, but at Paramount, I'm always kissing Paulette Gardner. I'm sharp as a marble tonight, am I? Isn't it murder?
Did you ever kiss Hetty?
Give me my seat. I'm waiting in the wings, Dolph. Give me my seat.
Did you ever kiss Hetty?
Think it up. No, but at Paramount, I'm always kissing Paulette Goddard and Madeline Carroll.
Which do you prefer kissing, Bob? Paulette or Madeline?
Well, when you kiss Paulette, your feet leave the ground.
And when you kiss Madeline?
Oh, you just kiss her, and then you look down, and there's Glendale. That I'll ever hear that much of applause for a guy by the name of Adolf. You notice we're nicely calling him Dolph. Thank you, Dolph Monju, and he'll be back with you in a few minutes. And now, Betty Hutton and the Six Hits and a Miss singing Old Ghost Train. Singing Old Ghost Train.
And here's plain old ghost. Supposing, ladies and gentlemen, you went right down to your corner store tonight and got a package of Pepsodent tooth powder. And supposing when you got back, you tried it for the first time. What do you suppose would happen? Well, for the first thing, you'd be delighted with the way its sparkling wintergreen tip makes your mouth sit up and take notice. You'd be amazed at the smooth texture, the soft way it works to make your teeth feel smooth as glass. You'd be surprised the way every trace of this superfine powder rinses away all except the spring-like freshness it leaves in your mouth. Independent laboratories have tested all kinds of tooth powder, and they say, quote, Pepsodent tooth powder can produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands, unquote. So, ladies and gentlemen, suppose you do go to your store tonight and get a package of Pepsodent tooth powder. And when you do, suppose you take a dime from the change and get a Bob Hope book. Tonight, we continue dramatizing the life of Bob Hope. In past weeks, you've seen Robert Hope as a baby.
I'll be back tomorrow for my next lesson. Thank you very much.
Then...
Are we still on? What happened? Did I lock it up? I did.
Tonight we continue dramatizing the life of Bob Hope. In past weeks, you've seen Robert Hope as a baby. Then as a boy.
Come on, Skin, let's get down to the fruit store and feel peach fuzz.
Robert Hope as a youth entering the threshold of life.
Welcome, Robert Hope. Welcome to Azusa Reform School.
Tonight we continue tracing the life of Bob Hope from data taken from the records of the FBI. At this point...
Who writes this stuff?
Robert.
At this point, young Robert Hope has heard about vaudeville.
Yeah!
And vaudeville has heard about him. As our story continues to unfold, we find Bob Hope determined to get a job in vaudeville with his best friend, Skinny Ennis, in a broken-down boarding house in New York.
Oh, he said it's on the beach.
What, Skin? Well, Skin, here we are in the big city. We ran away from home, came here to seek our fortune, and we've been starving in this room for 4 months.
Yeah, what are we going to do now, Bob?
I'm going to find that Horatio Alger and spit in his eye. I'm scared, Skin. Maybe we made a mistake running away from home. How much money we got left?
$1.16, your little brother's piggy bank.
Give me my little brother's piggy bank. I'll break it open.
Hey, what's in it?
Madeline Carroll's phone number. You know, he ain't so little.
Maybe you ran away too soon.
You got a right of your own? That's an awful good line. Why couldn't I read both of them? I could say, Madeline, so you know he ain't so little. Oh, I know. I could fix the thing. He ain't so little. Maybe I ran away too soon. You think I could lead the band, too? Well, anyway, Skin, I think it was best for me to run away. Our house was much too crowded.
Oh, Bob, you just sensed it. There's nothing wrong with sleeping eight in a bed.
Oh, I didn't mind the bed being crowded, but it was the bathtub that got me. You know, it's kind of embarrassing taking a bath and finding six hands scrubbing your back.
What do you care? It only happens once a month.
You know, my poor ma was crying something awful when I ran away from home.
Gee, she must have been very sorry to see you go.
Oh, it wasn't only that, Skin. I used her racing form for wrapping up my lunch. But I'm glad I got away from home. Those girls back home in Cleveland, they were awful.
All they ever thought about was necking.
Yeah, the copycats.
But you know, my gal was really sorry to see me leave. She gave me something to remember about. I'm saving them all in this album I got here.
Yeah, that really was a lovely thought, Skinny, pressing her spitballs. But just think, Skin. Just think, Skin. Here we are away from home and all set to break in the vaudeville. Gee, it's a thrill. But sometimes I wish I went to college.
What stopped you?
High school. They wouldn't let me skip from the 3A's. Say, Skin, about how far are we from home now?
Oh, about 100 miles as a sparrow flies.
Sparrow, what happened to the crow?
Don't you remember, Bob, we had to eat him for dinner yesterday.
I wish we could get a good meal. I'm hungry.
I guess you've been losing a lot of weight, Bob.
Losing weight, Skin. Right now, I'm using a cigar bomb. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I have a wonderful delivery tonight.
Ought to be at the Broadway Hollywood. Look, where are we?
I guess you're losing a lot of weight, Bob.
I wish we could get a good meal. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I guess you're losing a lot of weight, Bob.
Now, here comes that line. Losing weight, Skin. Right now, I'm using this. I can't do it. So far, I've made about 100 enemies. First in Jew blood. Now they put them in. I'm using this as a... You shouldn't put those words together. What do they think of that? Right now, losing weight, Skin, right now I'm using a cigar band to hold up my pants. That's the joke. I'll get it later.
Gosh, you know, it's really tough, Bob. There's no food here at all. Everybody's so thin and starved.
Yeah, I guess we got the only room in the world where the cat chews a rat hole.
Well, this will soon be over, Robert. Soon be all over. We'll make good on Broadway. I can just see us making a big success. The money rolling in. Innis becomes famous. Innis has two blondes on one arm, two brunettes on the other, and necking with two redheads at the same time.
Hello? Okay. Say, Skin, if you live through that, the Ovaltine... Oh, what a... I feel great, too. Huh? You putted bad today? I could use a putter. I could read better with a putter. Say, Skin. Hello, okay, say, Skin, if you live through that, the Ovaltine people want a testimonial. What a big joke. Believe me, it's a belly laugh. The writers can all take a free punch at me. Try it, somebody. Go ahead, baby.
Gosh, Fowlis, I'm starving. Why, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. And if Cross is listening, I'm only kidding.
Don't worry. As soon as we get our break in Vaudeville, we won't have to think about food. When we become a success, big salaries.
And if we're not a success,
big vegetables.
Big eggs, too.
Don't worry, Skin. My agent will find us a job.
Hey, what's an agent, Bob?
An agent. Did you ever see an octopus coming at you with all its tentacles stretched out, ready to squeeze the last drop of blood?
Killing.
What's an agent,
Bob?
What's an agent, he says. You know, usually it's you. You know. An agent? Did you ever see an octopus coming at you with all its tentacles stretched out, ready to squeeze the last drop of blood out of you?
Yeah. What about it?
Well, agents pour cream on them and have them for breakfast. Worst yet, though, I told my agent, Professor Colonna, to get me a booking in the Palace Theater, the biggest vaudeville house there is. He'll phone any minute now. Hello?
Hello, Hope. This is J.C. Colonna, actor's agent, artist representative, and purveyor of talent. I see that my clients have food and a bed. Pay me 10% or get a hole in your head.
I thought you were going to get me a job, Colonna.
I have got you something, Hope. You put your head inside a lion's mouth and you get $1,000 a performance.
I put my head inside a lion's mouth and I get $1,000 a performance? How many performances do I give?
Well, that depends on the lion.
Bring the filter out a little more. There's four women want to look at you right there. You well, Colonna. Pull a little harder and John Swallow will come up. That depends on the line, he said. And well, do you think it's safe?
Oh, of course it's safe. Why, I'm even rehearsing it for you now. It's really very simple. All you got to do is stick your head in the lion's mouth. That's it.
Colonna, don't stick your head in the lion's mouth. It's dangerous.
No, I'm in no danger at all. With my head in this lion's mouth, why, lions are vegetarians.
Lions are vegetarians, you fool. Lions are meat eaters.
Well, see, don't believe that propaganda. Now, I place my head further inside his mouth. Further.
Colonna, what's the matter?
Tonsils tickle.
Hey, Colonna, I better come right over there and help you fight that lion.
Oh, I don't need any help from anybody. I can stand on my own legs.
Did they hear the blood? Colonna, stop fooling. Where's the last guy that had the job?
Oh, he's right here, lying on the bed.
What's the matter with him?
Oh, I don't know. I'll ask the fellows here. Say, Joe, what happened to him? Oh, really? Hello, Hope. They say there's nothing the matter with him at all.
Nothing at all?
No, except from the neck up, he was drafted.
Colonna, what's wrong with you? Didn't they ever teach you anything at home?
No, you see, I never had a home.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, that's all right. See, I burned it down the night I was born.
You burned the house down the night you were born?
Yes, my old man passed out cigars, so I took one.
Come in.
At last I found you fellas.
Francie Langford, what are you doing here?
Robert Hope, I've come to beg you to come home. Your father's lost without you. He walks around the house dazed, bewildered. There's nothing left in life for him. Why did you hide the beer can opener?
I don't know. Tell him to open them with his nose like I do.
Oh, please come back, Robert. You don't belong in New York. After all, there are just as many opportunities in Cleveland.
Yeah, but here they walk slower.
But you've got to come home, Bob. You've got to protect your little brother, George. All the kids in school are picking on him, and they're calling him such terrible things.
Really? What terrible things?
Well, I'll have to whisper this. They're calling him a second Bob Hope.
Well, people. They ought to wash their mouths out.
And, Bob, your mother wants you to come back home.
She does?
Yes. Remember how you used to hang onto her apron string?
Yes.
Well, yesterday she bought a rope.
Well, I'm sorry, Francis. I'm not going home until I'm a success. I want to be able to walk down the street in years to come and have people say, there goes Bob Hope.
Well, people today say, there goes Bob Hope.
Yeah, but in years to come, they won't add the stinker.
You want a bet?
Yeah, but I'd like odds. You can go back now and you tell those people I ain't ever coming back until I'm a big success. Tell them I ain't ever coming back till I'm a millionaire. I ain't ever coming back till I'm a famous star.
Francie, just tell them he ain't ever coming back. Say, Fran, how about my folks? Do they miss me?
I don't think so, Skin.
Well, shucks, somebody ought to tell them that I'm gone.
But anyway, it's good to see you two. Gee, Bob, remember those long romantic evenings we used to spend at my house?
Yeah, there we were, you and me, sitting in your parlor on the sofa, looking at each other longingly, and your parents sitting between us playing gin rummy. Gosh, just think of the first time I kissed you. Ah, that's a tender memory.
And remember while you were kissing me, my father snuck up behind you?
Ah, that's a tender memory, too. And say, remember the first time I ever smoked a cigarette?
Yes, and your father caught you and took you over his knee and went to work with a big strap. He certainly hit you. You will remember not to smoke cigarettes for a long time.
You said it. Every time I sit down, I leave a modern design.
Still in awe, Robert, your father is fond of you. So won't you please come home?
Not me. I got ambition. I'm burning with ambition.
What is your ambition, Robert?
I want to grow up and be famous. Francis, I want to be so famous, when I pick up the morning paper, Pegler will say something nasty about me.
Well, Robert, if you're not coming home with me, I guess this is goodbye.
Goodbye, Francie. I'm not coming home until I've grown up and become a big success. And I am going to be a big success. Why, I'll bet by 1950 I'll be President of the United States. Quiet, Franklin.
Robert, maybe we better go home if our parents miss us so much.
No, we stay right here, Skin. Lucky thing I ain't so sentimental about parents.
Yeah? You're the kind of a guy that would give your old man a hot foot and then toast marshmallows over.
Well, I get hungry. Hello?
Hello? Whom is it?
Not whom. Who?
I'm sorry. Imagine an owl on a party line.
Have you found a vaudeville job for me yet?
Well, I have a job lined up for you. You do a dance with Cleopatra, and the act will be known as Cleopatra and Hope.
Cleopatra and Hope. Colonna, you idiot. Cleopatra's been dead for thousands of years.
Cleopatra's been dead for thousands of years?
Yes.
Well, then, you get top billing.
And is everything all set, Colonna?
Yes. Right now, I'm busy attending to the details. I have to go out and buy a few knack-knacks.
Colonna, knick-knacks.
Knack-knacks.
Knick-knacks.
Knack-knack.
Knick-knack.
The things you can get away with when you got a union.
Gee, Skin, Colonna better get us a job pretty quick. I'm getting sick and tired of living in this awful room here.
Bob, for Vaudevillian's room, this isn't bad looking. It's even got a Venetian blind.
Some Venetian blind. A deck of pinochle cards and a yo-yo. What a broken-down room this is. Come in. I said, come in.
Don't be silly. I'm a termite.
I think you are at that. You've come so large lately. Look, look at that big hole in the wall, Skin.
Yeah. Maybe I ought to peek through and see what I can see.
Well, what do you see?
Another guy's face.
Well, serves him right.
You know, I like this theatrical life. I hope we're a hit.
Yeah, just think, Skin, if we're a hit, Broadway, going out to dinner, soft lights, music, beautiful women, champagne, caviar.
Yeah, Bob, gee, it makes me hungry just to think of.
Yeah, me too. Give me another handful of kennel ration.
Yeah. Bob, don't you know it spoils the flavor when you use all that ketchup?
Come on, Skin, dinner's ready. Let's sit down.
Okay.
You know, those eggs we had for breakfast were good.
That last egg we had for lunch was good, too.
Yeah, and these shells ain't bad, either. What's that, Skin?
Man, I just struck a live one.
Well, that's more than he can say for you. Skin, you sneak down the hall and take that bottle of milk next door.
Oh, I wouldn't steal anything, Bob.
Go ahead. The guy told me we could have it.
Well, okay.
What was all that noise, Ken?
Man, Yankee hospitality.
Say, listen, Skin, I think the landlady is coming for the rent.
Yep, here she comes.
Gee, we dug that pit just in the right place.
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Holt, are you in there?
It's the landlady.
Mr. Ennis, are you in there? Is anybody in there? Must have a leak in my bustle.
You got, Bob?
14 cents.
I got 12 cents.
Well, what about it?
Madam, you better start splittering.
Can't you wait a few days? We expect a part in a big Broadway play.
Why don't you go around the corner to the meat market and get a job there?
What can I do in a meat market?
Hang on a hook, you ham.
Is this Professor Colonna?
Who'd you expect to call you, H.B. Kaltenborn?
You may not be Kaltenborn, but you're certainly H.V., half vip.
Half vip. Who wrote that line for you, belly last box?
Colonna, please tend to business.
Okay, say, Hope, is anybody listening?
Why, no, Colonna, nobody's listening.
Yeah, every week the same thing.
Professor, are you trying to get Skinny and I jobs in show business?
I certainly am. I'm with a big theater manager right now. Say, how would you like to be headliner?
Headliners? That's swell.
Wait, I'll ask the manager. How would you like to be ushers?
Colonna, you're a dope, a fool, an imbecile, an idiot, a moron, a drip, a jackass, and my pal.
I liked it till you got to the end. Listen, I got the manager of the theater right here, and he's got a wonderful proposition. Go ahead, Max. Tell him the deal. Of course, that doesn't include my 10%.
Stop fooling. Where are you now, Professor?
I'm in a theater getting some pointers for your new act.
Oh, swell idea. Have you got a good seat?
Have I got a good seat? He could maybe fall off the runway.
Listen, what do you want Skinny and I to do?
Listen, Hope, I want you and Ennis to go right over to Adolph Menchu's office. He's a big theatrical producer, and I think he has a job for you. I'll be with you in a few minutes. I'm rehearsing a love scene with another one of my clients, Miss Lamar. I think the kid's got something. And every time she kisses me, she sends an electric thrill through me.
She sends an electric thrill through you?
Yes. Come on, buzz me, Miss L.
Oh, Professor. Here goes.
Now, you go and see Mr. Manju, and I've got to see another client of mine, a magician. He's got a wonderful trick. He puts a rabbit in a top hat, then he waves his hand over it.
Yeah, what comes out?
More rabbits. Goodbye. See you at Manju's office later.
Come on, Skin. Let's go over to Mr. Manju's office and see if we can get a job out of him.
Okay, let's go.
Hey, Bob. This must be the office here. Look at the sign on the door. Theatrical Enterprise.
Yeah, Adolph Manju for all kinds of booking. If you haven't got a part, ask us what's cooking. Let's go in.
Yeah? What can we do for you?
Well, my partner and I would like to show Mr. Manju our vaudeville act.
Sorry, we got enough sister teams.
Listen, you can't talk like that to me. I want to see Mr. Manju.
You're not going to get any favors out of Mr. Manju by bringing him a lily.
This isn't a lily. It's my partner, Skinny Ennis.
Well, take him out of your lapel. He reminds me of a picture I just saw.
Really? What's the name of it?
Unfinished Business.
Well, look, do you handle any big acts here?
Big acts? You know Clark Gable?
Yes, do you handle him?
No, but I can dream, can't I? Hello? Yeah?
Oh, really? Hello?
Hey, Hope, I'm talking to a fellow here. Did you ever hear of Cecil B. DeMille?
Why, of course, Kelowna. Everybody's heard of Cecil B. DeMille.
Yeah? Well, C.B., I guess I can trust you with my laundry.
Kelowna, you idiot. You're supposed to be getting me a job.
Yes, the great news. There's a spot open at this theater for a new act. The fellow that had this spot used to swallow razor blades and all kinds of knives, but he isn't here anymore.
Well, what happened to him, Kelowna? Was he hurt?
No, but caught in an aluminum drive.
Well, Kelowna, when do I go on?
Next week, Hope. And listen, I got you the best place on the whole program. The zipper spot.
Kelowna, what's the zipper spot?
That's the opening. This is what is known as broad comedy.
Will you boys please sit down with those other people and wait?
Say, Skin, look at that pretty girl waiting in the office. I'm going to make an impression on her. She'll think I'm a real gentleman. Oh, my pretty maid.
What is it, Wolf?
I recognize you. You're the Hutton girl. Hello, Barbara.
Wait a minute, brother. I'm just poor little Betty Hutton, not Barbara Hutton.
What's the difference after the new taxes get through with you?
Hi, Betty. Remember me?
Well, well, if it isn't one foot in heaven. Hiya, Skin. What do you hear from Forest Lawn?
Say, Betty, what kind of an act do you do?
I sing, I dance, I do handspring, sleight of hand, walk a tightrope, do a little ventriloquism, and double on a saxophone.
I'm from a Major Bowes unit, too.
What do you guys do?
Well, I sing some of those swing numbers, and when I swing, sister, I'm really out of this world.
Well, start singing and do the Western Hemisphere a favor.
I also do a dancing act. I'm a very high kicker. Watch how high I can kick. Here goes. Lucky this is a two-pant suit.
Yeah, serves you right for wearing both pairs at once.
Well, I can always make them into a sarong. Tell me, Betty, have you played any of the deluxe houses?
Deluxe houses? Bob, one theater I played in was so deluxe they'd throw a tomato and a piece of Kleenex so afterwards you could tidy up.
Say, well, how did you ever get into show business?
Well, my parents were both in show business.
So were mine. You know, I was born in a trunk.
Yeah, too bad they forgot to lock it. Say, what else do you do in your act?
Oh, we do an adagio dance. We throw a girl up in the air.
Where's the girl?
Well, you know the Earl Carroll Theater?
Yeah, she over there?
Yeah, second chandelier, third bulb. All right, Dolph.
Oh, boy.
That's all right.
Hey, you people in my office. I'll be with you in a minute. I just finished dictating to my secretary.
Now, Miss Glutz, read that back.
Did I say that, Miss Glutz? Now, Miss Glutz, I'm quite sure I didn't say that. All right, have it your own way, but don't cry.
Say, do you book many big people in show business, Mr. Manju?
Or do I? You've heard Nelson Eddy, haven't you?
Of course. Did you get Nelson Eddy a job with MGM?
No, but this is where he comes to mix his shortening bread. Well, I'm afraid I can't do anything for you. Any of you. I can't use you.
Just a minute, Mr. Manju. See, you're getting it, too. You like it. Listen to me long enough, you won't be able to get home. I can't shoot. Just a minute, Mr. Manju. How do you know you don't want to shoot? You ain't even seen our act.
You don't have to see Limburger to know it's there.
Oh, give us a chance.
All right, young man, and what do you do?
I sing, like this.
Got a date with an angel, got a meter with seven.
Was your mother ever frightened by a bicycle pump? Who's there?
Professor Kelowna, theatrical agent for Robert Taylor, Clark Gable, Tyrone Power, Gary Cooper, Robert Montgomery, and Bob Hope.
Bob Hope? What does he do?
Makes a wonderful contrast.
Kelowna, I want you to meet someone. You know who this is.
Hello?
Oh, you're Manju, aren't you?
Well, I'm Bob Hope's agent. Say, what can Bob Hope do in the way of entertainment?
Anything he does is in the way of entertainment.
Say, who is this guy?
Oh, that's Professor Jerry Kelowna.
Look at that fungus under his lips. And I thought the Board of Health burned out all the weeds.
Kelowna, this man with the mustache is Dolph Manju. And Manju, this mustache with the man is Professor Kelowna.
Well, get the tape measure.
Standing between you two guys, it looks like harvest time in Glendale.
I brush mine 50 times at night before going to bed. What do you do to keep your mustache healthy?
Let it nibble on a bone.
You've really got a lovely thing there.
Do you like it?
Yes, I've never seen such a fine bunch of face lace. But tell me, why does your mustache look so tired?
Well, it went to a party last night with John L. Lewis's eyebrows.
Say, why don't you two guys get together and stuff a pillow?
You keep out of this, straight man. Now, honestly, mind you, don't you think this is a nice mustache I have?
Yes. It must come in handy when you run out of shoelaces.
And what's that sprouting on your lip?
A mustache.
A mustache? I've seen more hair on a midget's mole.
All right now, Colonna. What can your act do?
Well, we blindfold Skinny Ennis and Hope shoots a cigarette from his mouth. Ready, boys?
Yes, Professor.
Are you sure Hope can shoot the cigarette from Skinny's mouth?
Oh, sure. He's done it for years. It's the old act. Yes, sir. The old act. Go ahead, Hope.
Oh!
I guess something new has been added.
Look, let's stop all this foolishness. Mr. Manju, you just got to give us a job on the stage. We do comedy and funny jokes. We'll show them. Take it, Skin.
Okay. Come over to the house tonight, Bob. I want to see my little dog, Ginger.
Does Ginger bite?
No, Ginger snaps.
Yes, sir, they're great. Too bad Vaudeville is dead.
Say, Skin, why does the chicken cross the road?
To get on the other side.
They're wonderful. Too bad Vaudeville is dead.
Oh!
Mind you, why did you shoot my boy?
Listen, Vaudeville may be dead, but there's still a chance to save radio.
All thanks for the memories. You folks who condescend to give your ear a bend. In our direction, your selection flatters us no end. And thank you so much. Oh, thanks for old ass cat. Of you, Adolphe Manju, for every quip you threw. With suave and slick and turn a trick, brand new to our review. So thank you so much. What success we've enjoyed, folks, I owe you. A personal glow I can't show you. Should we meet on the street, though, I'd know you. For Irium smiles shine out for miles.
And now, folks, today on Armistice Day, the United States once more prepares to defend the freedom and liberty we once fought to preserve. Every citizen of the United States is a defense worker, no matter what his job, where he lives, or what his age. Every one of us has a job to do. Tonight starts Civilian Defense Week, and in a little while, over these same stations, the President of the United States will speak to us on the job of civilian defense. Be sure to listen. Stay tuned in.
Next week, folks, we'll be back at the same time with Francis Langford, Jerry Colonna, Skinny Ennis, and all the gang, Betty Hutton, and...
Bob Wolf.
Thank you, Ben Gates. Good night, everybody.